You may know how to talk the talk and do it well, but are you really walking the walk? If not, Pastor Jeff would like your ear today.
John says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth. When you walk in truth, you walk in love. When you walk in love, you walk in obedience to His commands. And His commands are to love Him with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. I want to ask you this question. What changes do you need to make today so that you can start walking in the truth?
There are many who are born-again believers, and they want to walk in the truth. But so much of the time, they're walking in darkness. They want to be somebody who pleases God and takes their faith seriously. But that kind of walk with the Lord always seems just out of reach. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. We want to thank you for being with us today for a midweek Wednesday broadcast. Listen, here's a tough question, but one that needs your best answer. How can we walk in the truth and please the Lord consistently? Pastor Jeff explains just how that can happen in your life today with a message entitled, Are You Walking in the Truth? Open your Bible to the book of 2 John. Here now is Pastor Jeff with part two of the lesson, Are You Walking in the Truth?
How can you be a person who walks in the truth and pleases the Lord? Insight number one, understand the progression to walking in the truth. There is a progression to walking in the truth. Look at it again in verse 4. I was very glad to find some of your children, this chosen lady, to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. There is great joy there for the some that were walking in the truth. The people that were walking in the truth had joy. John had joy to hear that they were walking in the truth. So step number one in this progression, you hear the truth of God's love. Second step, you receive the truth of God's love. See, it's not just enough to hear it. You have to respond to it. You have to make a decision concerning the truth of the love of God. You have to receive that love. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you hear the truth of God's love, you receive and you respond, and then thirdly, you express the truth of God's love. What does that mean? I respond to God's love, and I repent and believe, and God gives me His Spirit, and the love of God is put into my heart, poured out into my heart, and the natural response is to love God back. And what John is saying, he says, when you love God, you obey His commandments, and what is His commandment? That you love one another. So understand the progression to walking in the truth. Second insight, understand the challenges to walking in the truth. There are challenges. There are struggles to walking in the truth. And every Christian feels it. Every Christian knows it. And you and I deal with three enemies. We have the world, we have the devil, and we have the flesh. The world is the world system. That's kind of the culture. The Bible says in 1 John 5 that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world is cradled in the lap of the devil. And the culture is moving further and further away from God. And we feel it in our country as we get further and further away from the Lord. So we deal with the world. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, John says the love of the Father is not in him. Now, think of the world as an external foe. That's out there, but Paul says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, Romans chapter 12. So the world is the external foe. The devil is the infernal foe. Infernal means from hell. The devil is the hellish foe who wants to steal and kill and destroy. But then you have an enemy within, an internal foe, and that enemy is the flesh. And when the Bible talks about the flesh, sometimes it uses the word flesh to just refer to your hide and your hair. And there's nothing wrong with your flesh as far as that goes, your skin and bones and tissues. There's nothing. God made that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. That part of the flesh is fine. But when the Bible also talks about the flesh, sarx in the Greek, S-A-R-X, sarx, that also refers to the residual nature that you receive from Adam. See, in Adam, all die. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from the forbidden fruit, and when they ate of that fruit, they died. Where did they die? Their body, soul, and spirit. Where did they die? They didn't die in their body. They didn't die in their soul. They died in their spirit. And they passed along a dead spirit. See, the spirit is where you know God. See, you're in your body, you know the world beneath you, the physical world. In your soul, you know the world around you, the psychological world. But in your spirit, you know the world above you, the spiritual world. And they died in their spirit. And they died in that part where they communed with God. And when they had children, they passed along a dead spirit. And so man was dead on the inside. In the New Testament, what do we have? You have to be born again. You must be born again. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your dead spirit. He makes you alive. And all of a sudden you're alive and you can know God. And you're not dominated by the old nature anymore. That old self, that old man the Bible talks about that wants to do evil. But you still have the remnants from that. And the Bible, you know, some people say, well, it's two natures. The Bible doesn't really indicate that you have another nature inside, but you have the remnants from the old nature. And that's called the flesh. And so what you need to know about the flesh is this: your flesh wants to sin. Your flesh, what is flesh? It's yourself. It's just self-effort, self-interest, all about me. The selfish self, you. That's what the flesh is, and it wants to sin. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and it lists 15 things: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Casey left something out. Things like these. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things, those who walk after those things, that's the dominating practice of your life, to live like that. Those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why would he say that? It's because if you're walking in the flesh and you're dominated by the flesh and your life is characterized by the flesh, hey, newsflash, you've never been saved. The reason you're practicing those things is because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't live in your heart. But even as a believer, those things have a pull. Now, not all sin has the same pull to every single person. Some people are, the drunkenness, big pull. Alcohol, big pull. Other people, no big deal at all. Some people, it's drugs. Some people, it's lust. I had a friend of mine. You know, most guys, that lust is a big one. I had a friend of mine, he said, you know, the lust isn't really a big deal for me. You know what's a big deal for me? Greed. Greed. So I was like, well, I don't really have a problem with greed. But I'm like, most guys have a problem with purity of my mind. And so people have different issues. The flesh, it's all sorts of different things that can pull you away into the flesh. And some people, it's unrighteousness, and some people, it's self-righteousness. Whatever it is, the devil doesn't mind if you do good in the flesh or you do bad in the flesh. He just wants you to be in the flesh and in the flesh. So the flesh wants to sin, and the reason the flesh wants to sin, here's the bottom line with the flesh wants to rule. But I say, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. What is the desire of the flesh? What is the desire of the Spirit? Control. They want to control you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life to control you, so that you could live a life that walks in the truth, that walks in the light, that pleases God. And the flesh says, no, I want to be in control. I want to do what I want to do. And that is the battle inside of every Christian. The flesh wants to rule. And the Bible says this in Romans chapter 8 about the flesh. The flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. God hates the flesh because the flesh hates God. And you deal with that, and I deal with that, and we deal with that, and John dealt with that, and Paul deals with that. And so here's the difficulty of walking in the truth is I have to deal with the flesh. And the flesh is hard, and the flesh is pulling me towards sin, and the flesh wants to be in control, and the flesh is fighting the Spirit. And so that's the major challenge to the Christian life. So understand the progression and walking in the truth. Understand the challenges to walking in the truth. And thirdly, understand the keys to walking in the truth. There are keys to help you, to help me, to help us walk in the truth, walk in victory, walk in the light with the Lord. Truth number one, remember the cross. Remember the cross. So what did we say? The progression. It's truth, it's love, and it's obedience. You hear the truth of God's love, you respond to the truth of God's love, the Holy Spirit, who is God, the love of God in your hearts poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit, whom he's given to us, and then it's obedience, because that's how I show that I love God. I obey God. If you're struggling in obedience, you gotta remember the cross. So 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us seven virtues of a growing Christian. And then it says this, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says this in verse 9, but he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. 2 Peter chapter 1. It lists all those things. In your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence knowledge, and your knowledge self-control, and your self-control perseverance, and your perseverance godliness, your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind. You've never been saved. The amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You're blind. You've never been saved. Or you're short-sighted. The word short-sighted in the Greek is where we get our English word myopia. It means you have nearsightedness. I have nearsightedness. I had to get LASIK surgery to help me with my nearsightedness because I can't see far away. And man, I couldn't read the alarm clock in the morning because I was blind as a bat when it came to seeing anything from any distance. I had reading vision, but I couldn't see past that. You're either blind or short-sighted, having forgotten your purification from your former sins. Hey, you've forgotten the cross. You've forgotten what Jesus did for you on the cross. Why are you having such trouble walking in the truth? Because you're not connected to his love, that's why. And Isaac Watts wrote that great hymn in 1707, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See From his head, his hands, his side, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? He is looking at the cross. And then he says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I respond to his love. If you're having trouble walking in the truth, it's not grit your teeth, try harder to walk in the truth. It's get your focus on the cross. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember the cross. Secondly, remember his love in the law. His love in the law. Now, we think of the law as just harsh and cold, but that's not what it was. Why did God give his commandments? Why did God give the law? He gave it out of a heart of love. Everything God does, he does out of a heart of love. Romans 10:13 says this, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love and the law are connected. Now, the Pharisees, what did they do? They took the law of God, and the law of God was meant to be a guardrail around life. You know, when you drive on a mountain road, and you're taking a turn, a curve, there's a guardrail there. What's the guardrail there for? To keep you on the road. Because if you take that turn too fast, you can fly off the road. So the guardrail is there. Hopefully you don't hit it. But if you do, it's going to keep you on the road so you don't fly off the side of the mountain. Guardrail is not a bad thing. You don't drive around saying, oh, another guardrail, just trying to steal all my fun. You say, thank God for the guardrail. Have you ever been on a mountain curve that didn't have a guardrail? You're like, what's the deal? There's no guardrail. I could die here. Well, God puts guardrails up. It's called his commandments. And when God says, you shall not do X, that's God's way of saying, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. And when God says, you shall do Y, God's saying, help yourself to happiness. See, every thou shalt not is just God's way of saying, I love you too much to see you fly off the mountain. And so I put a guardrail up to protect you. What did the Pharisees do? They attached spears and barbed wire and all sorts of sharp metal objects coming off the guardrail. So they turned something loving and good into something horrible. They took the command in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, which is a gift from God that, hey, every 7 days, God says, I'm giving you a vacation day. And I want you to rest, and I want you to refresh, and I want you to spend time with me. Don't work on that day. What did the Jews do? They said, well, we got to define work. They came up with 39 commands attached to work. Said, well, you can't thresh, you can't die, you can't do this, you can't do that. Die, D-Y-E, not D-I-E. You can't, you could die on the Sabbath, that happened, but you couldn't do it. So when Jesus, when he would heal on the Sabbath, they would blow a gasket. You can't do that, that's a work. You can't work on the Sabbath, you're going to be executed. And they took something that was wonderful, the Sabbath, and it was a blessing from God, and they turned it into a billy club. And the people hated the Sabbath. Why? Because, the Sabbath. I mean, the Sabbath police are there to say, hey, we counted. You took one extra step. You only can take so many steps on the Sabbath. You took one extra step. You deserve to die. That's what they did. It was horrible. Hey, the law was given for love. Remember the love in the law. Psalm 119 says, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. Hey, we're talking about keys to help you walk in the truth. To look at God's commandments and to delight in those and to lift up your hands to his commandments, which you love. You say, what does that mean? I lift my hands to your commandments, which I love, and say, well, this is what God wants me to do, and God loves me, and this is a guardrail to keep me on the road, and this is for my good, and I surrender to it. Because in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And the flesh is hostile toward God, and the flesh wants to sin and wants to be in control, and the flesh is going to wreck and ruin my life. You blow past the guardrails of life, and you come flying off the road, and you come tumbling down the hill. And then key number three, remember it's a walk in the light. It's a walk in the light. What happens in our walk? We fall down. The best of us falls down. But a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. You don't fall down and quit. You don't give up. I remember going to a conference when I was in college, and they were talking about struggling with immorality, impurity, sensuality, and sexual sins. And then college students really struggle with that. Young people really struggle with that. The Bible calls those youthful lusts. And the teacher said, never quit fighting against that sin. Never give up. And so if it knocks you down, you get back up and you say, I'm going to keep fighting against this. Hey, God is light, John says this, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You got to be honest. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. Hey, you're going to fall on the narrow road. You're going to struggle on the narrow road. You just don't stay down. You get back up and you say, Lord, I have sinned. I want to walk with you. Please forgive me of that sin. Lord, I turn from that sin. I confess and forsake that sin. I want to walk with you. And then the Lord will put you back walking with him. And you keep doing that and keep doing that. And remember that it's a walk in the light. Don't say you have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, because you lie and you don't practice the truth when you do that. If there's bitterness in your heart, you need to get it right. If there's jealousy in your heart, you need to get it right. If there's sexual immorality in your life, you need to get that right so that you can walk in the light with God. John says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth. When you walk in truth, you walk in love. When you walk in love, you walk in obedience to his commands. And his commands are to love him with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. Hey, as we close out today, I want to ask you this question. What changes do you need to make today so that you can start walking in the truth?
If you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, invite him in today. Get on your spiritual knees, so to speak, and sincerely cry out to him from your heart. He will hear you and come into your life, and you'll never be the same. Find out more about what that means and how to respond to this call from God on your life right now. Go to fromhisheart.org and click the Why Jesus link. God bless you. You've been listening to today's broadcast, part two of Are You Walking in the Truth? From Pastor Jeff Shreve's series, Nothing But the Truth. It's taken from the book of 2 John, and the theme of 2 John is truth. Is God's truth real in your heart and in your life? There's a big difference between knowing the truth in your head and knowing the truth in your heart. It's been said that every lie is really two lies. The lie we tell others who fall for the lie, and the lie we tell ourselves to justify it. Nothing but the truth will arrest the evil in our world and in our lives today. Nothing But the Truth is a new three-message series that'll open your eyes and allow you to live free with Christ inside. It's also our thank you gift for your support this month of any amount. To get this powerful series, call 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And be sure to join Pastor Jeff tomorrow as we begin the final lesson in the series Nothing But the Truth. It's called, Are You Holding Firmly to the Truth? Join us on Thursday when again we open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. There is hope that you always dream of. He can heal. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that. Go to fromhisheart.org.